Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to be in certain businesses. What kind of businesses? Oh, like selling suburban real estate. The New York Times. Yeah, that's right. The very liberal New York Times is reporting that over 3 days in late July, a three-bedroom house in East Orange, New Jersey. I've been to East Orange. It was listed for sale for $285,000. It had 97 showings. They received 24 offers. And the house, three-bedroom house, went under contract for 21% over that price. On Long Island, six people made offers on a $490,000 house in Valley Stream without even seeing it in person after it was shown on a Facebook live video. In the Hudson Valley, another New York suburb, a nearly three-acre property with a pool listed for $985,000. It received four all-cash bids within 20 hours of having 14 showings. Okay, what is going on here? What's going on, as they point out, is people are fleeing the city. They want out of Dodge. And it's not just New York. It's Baltimore. It's St. Louis. It's Chicago. And even, it appears to be San Francisco. People don't want to live in town anymore. Why not? It's also true, by the way, of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. used to have a bunch of gentrifying neighborhoods right in the district. No more, apparently. Everybody wants to be out in Silver Spring or Bethesda or Fairfax County, Virginia, or someplace, you know, they've got nice rapid transit. And anyway, people can work from home now. So they are leaving these cities because there's no order. And by the way, it didn't start with the killing of George Floyd. These cities under very liberal leadership began falling apart, as was the case in Seattle, long before. Began falling apart with that idea that we have to invite and sustain and coddle and understand massive homeless encampments with thousands of people on sidewalks or in parks. And this, of course, has now continued to basically honoring and respecting and listening to all the BLM rioters. And there are a lot of people who have been involved very directly with Black Lives Matter movement, including the riots over the weekend at Black Lives Matter Square, which is supposed to be across from the White House where they have that big painted Black Lives Matter sign on the sidewalk. There were fights with cops. There were cops assaulted. There were cops wounded, hospitalized. In Chicago, three cops were shot over the weekend while trying to make a traffic stop. And this was the rhetoric from one of those BLM activists during the riots in Washington, D.C., actually calling for more dead cops. Listen.
I'm at the point where I'm going to put these police in the grave. I'm at the point where I want to burn the White House down. I want to take it to the senator. I want to take it to the Congress. I want to take the fight to them. And at the end of the day, if they ain't going to hear us, we burn them the down.
Okay. If he has busted police in the head in New York and he's threatening to do it in D.C., shouldn't he be arrested? He continues drawing an analogy about being on the front lines of a meaningful fight. Listen.
Ma'am, it's a lot of people, and I'm going to be honest, it's a lot of people that's on this front line. And one of the things that I always say, don't get on this front line if you ain't going to fight. Don't get on this front line if you ain't going to take no hit. Don't get on this front line when the police push up, you push back. If you won't be on this front line and them racist, nasty ass, punk police are pushing up, you push the up.
Okay. This has real-world consequences, and it's utterly unacceptable, isn't it? I mean, really, can we continue to exist like this as a country? How are the riots, how is the civil unrest going to end? And when? There's a professor at Princeton who we're going to be speaking to, a very interesting guy, African-American. He actually started a very successful website called Black Planet before he took his job teaching American history and politics at Princeton. He's done a statistical analysis about the last time we had riots like this back in the 1960s. And how did they end? What did they accomplish? We will get into that with Professor Omar Wasso of Princeton coming up on the Michael Medved Show. I do think that everybody who has any sensitivity at all to the real world in this country understands that this is... At the moment, at least, it is very, very clearly hurting Joe Biden and the Democrats. But not so much helping Trump unless he can actually put a stop to the violence. Because if this continues for another month, I think there will be basically a collapse in confidence about the government generally. And those people who have been talking for years about a civil war, they won't get their wish because we don't have a lot of people who are going to leave the U.S. Army and take to the streets and be part of a revolution against the government. But it could lead to a political upheaval of some kind that is very different from what either side wants or expects. President Trump was speaking in Manchester, New Hampshire on Friday. He flew up right after the Republican convention. He was very pleased with the convention. He was not pleased with the fact that Rand Paul and Kelly Paul, his wife, were assaulted when they were leaving the White House. So were a bunch of other people, some of whom were actually physically assaulted by anti-gay activists, part of the BLM movement, who spotted some of President Trump's gay supporters and pursued them down the street, wouldn't let them go back to their hotel. This is craziness. This nation's capital. And if in New York City you can't have a sense of peace, this article in the New York Times has a picture of a very beautiful black couple, Olajide Kishinro and Renes Toussaint of Queens, have been house hunting in New Jersey. It is not a question of race here. It's a question of sanity. Nobody wants to live surrounded by crazy, hateful people who just go to violence and want violence every night without any coherent goal. We will get back to that and more coming up on the Medved Show. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com? They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is an issue in the presidential campaign. It doesn't go beyond politics. Everything is politics right now, 60 days before an election, for goodness sake. And President Trump was speaking about the issue of violence, alluding to the violence in Portland, which for reasons that really make no sense at all, seems to be ground zero for the attempted takeover of an entire downtown area by crazy, evil, destructive, violent radicals, like that lady you heard screaming through her bullhorn that she wanted applause because a fascist had died. The fascist was named Jay Danielson. is also known as Jay Bishop. He is 25 years old. Basically, they don't know much more about him. He was a member of a group called Patriot Prayer. And the entire situation is so sad because it highlights the utter incompetence of city government. It's the same thing we had in Seattle until finally, under Chief Best, who has since been basically thrown out by the city council, they pushed her to resign. We had the same thing in Seattle until Chief Best retook that Seattle Capitol Hill occupied protest. And now you have a situation in Portland where the police chief, whose name is Chuck Lovell, and I think he says Lovell, actually, and he's African-American, and he says Portland desperately needs calm. We are living in an extremely divided era. It is time for us to start refocusing on what we have in common and not what divides us. Lives are at stake. Well, that's right. But for goodness sake, most of the... do I think it was a smart thing to try to lead a caravan of 600, mostly pickup trucks and other vehicles, 600 cars into downtown Portland? 600 cars, a lot of cars. Think about it. And they were bumper to bumper, and they were honking, and they had Trump paraphernalia, Trump 2020, and flags, and thin blue line flags supporting the police, and Blue Lives Matter, and all kinds of sentiments that I emphatically agree with, certainly in support of police officers. But they're not doing the police officers any favors, because then the cops, who are badly outnumbered already by the demonstrators, have to also deal with this other set of demonstrators. And apparently the people from the Trump rally, Cruz rally they called it, cruising into downtown, and then they left. And by the way, they followed the instructions they got from the police, most of them did at least, not to linger downtown, just to drive through, make their showing, and get out. And most of them did. And the shooting, the killing of poor Jay Danielson, 25 years old, that killing took place after most of the pro-Trump people had left. But all of this was before President Trump spoke on Friday night when he was speaking about the agitators in Kenosha, many of whom, the majority of whom, were from out of town. They weren't Kenosha residents. He spoke in Manchester, New Hampshire. New Hampshire, one of those swing states that Trump lost very narrowly last time, but he's hoping to tip over in his direction. He had this to say about the protesters.
Today's Democrat Party is filled with hate. Just look at Joe Biden supporters on the street screaming and shouting at bystanders with unhinged manic rage, right? You see it? It's crazy. It's crazy. You had to see last night in Washington. It was a disgrace. It was a disgrace that these people are representing the United States of America. It was a disgrace. Protesters. You know what I say? Protesters, your ass. I don't talk about my ass. They're not protesters. Those aren't those are anarchists. They're agitators. They're rioters. They're looters. They're not. You know, you say that, and some of the people, not all of them, but some of the people back there, oh, how dare you. These are friendly protesters, right? Friendly protesters.
Okay. No, they're not. And that was President Trump speaking to, I believe they estimated he had a crowd at the airport there, out of doors, for safety's sake, in Manchester, New Hampshire, about a crowd of about 1,000 people. The Joe Biden, he spoke today, and this is, I think, one of his most extended statements so far about the violence, and it doesn't go nearly far enough. Listen.
Fires are burning, and we have a president who fans the flames rather than fighting the flames. But we must not burn. We have to build. This president long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country. He can't stop the violence because for years he's fomented it. You know, he may believe, mouthing the words, law and order makes him strong. But his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is. Does anyone believe there'll be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? We need justice in America. We need safety in America. We're facing multiple crises. Crises under Donald Trump have kept multiplying.
That's Joe Biden. And the question is, he asked, does anyone really believe the violence will stop if Trump is reelected? Does anyone really believe the violence will stop the day that he's elected, if he is? This is a real problem, and Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, who of course has been kind of harshly attacked by President Trump, hit right back at the president and blamed him for everything. Here's the mayor.
President Trump, for 4 years, we've had to live with you and your racist attacks on black people. We learned early about your sexist attitudes towards women. We've had to endure clips of you mocking a disabled man. We've had to listen to your anti-democratic attacks on journalists. We've read your tweets slamming private citizens to the point of receiving death threats. And now you're attacking Democratic mayors and the very institutions of democracy that have served this nation well since its founding. Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? I'm going to do the work that I need to do here in my local community with my local officials to take accountability for what's happening on our streets. And I'd appreciate that either the president support us or he stay the hell out of the way.
Okay, he's been staying out of the way. And you've done nothing effective to curb the violence. You've had 90 days to do it, Mr. Mayor. And by the way, what does his attitude, his sexist attitudes, or his criticism of the press have to do with the violence in your streets by extreme left-wingers? We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Acting DHS Secretary Ken Cuccinelli says Mayor Ted Wheeler in Portland cares more about fighting with President Trump than ending violence in his city.
We're dealing with a mayor who hates President Trump more than he loves the people in Portland. And he doesn't care about peace if he thinks he can score cheap political points on the president.
The violence continuing in Portland over the weekend when a supporter of President Trump's was shot and killed. Speaking in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden says President Trump is not doing his job in stopping violence.
He doesn't want to shed light. He wants to generate heat. And he's stroking violence in our cities.
The former vice president speaking at an old steel mill plant in Pennsylvania, not taking any questions. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
In June, when we were just getting used to the idea of ongoing daily in many cities demonstrations and kind of an explosion of violence across the country associated with it, there was a fascinating piece that appeared in the Washington Post by a Princeton professor, and it was part of a longer piece that he had done in the American Political Science Review. Omar Wasso is an assistant professor at Princeton's Department of Politics. His PhD is in African American Studies from Harvard. He also originated a very popular website that you may have heard of called Black Planet, which he later sold and preferred his academic work. Professor Wasso, it's great to meet you on the phone, and thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, Mr. Medved.
It's a great pleasure. And Michael, and if I can call you Omar,
yeah,
that'll be
fine.
Great. Okay. One of the things that I was dying to ask you, and I really have never wanted more eagerly to have a particular guest on the show, is to explain something that I think a lot of Americans who have any historical recollection at all are wondering about. Is you mention in your research the political impact, which was negative for the long-term goals of the civil rights movement, of the explosion of riots that began with the Watts riot in 1965 and just massive destruction and massive death, actually. Watts riots, 34 people died. And 1,000 buildings were destroyed, not just damaged, but destroyed. The riots went on between 65 and 68, and then they kind of shifted to college campuses. There were 20 campuses in 68 that were occupied by the National Guard. And as far as I can tell, Professor Wasso, the riots kind of petered out in the early 70s. Why? And what can we learn if you want to put an end to the urban destruction and violence?
So it's a great question. It's one of the big questions of social science is what led to this peak and then decline. And I think it's useful to step back and just think first, you know, why are people so angry, right? Like what's underneath the rage? And I was thinking about, I was just this weekend watching a documentary about Ruby Ridge, this incident in the early 90s where the Marshal Service. You know, there's a guy with a trumped up gun charge and
Randy Weaver, right?
Yeah, Randy, exactly, right. And they there's this sort of essentially this intense state violence against a family living in the mountains, and that becomes a source of anger on the right that fuels protests. And even in the case of the extreme case, someone like Timothy McVeigh, blowing up the Oklahoma, McMurrah federal building. And I only draw that analogy because I think it's useful to think about how, in a moment where people feel like they have been targets of violence, there's sort of an eye for an eye logic of justice that can emerge in that moment. You attack me, well, I'm going to punch back. And that's some, what we see again and again in the 1960s, in this moment where the early period of civil disobedience, which was very strategic about, making people who were actually going into the line of fire, encouraging, essentially getting the police to attack them on camera, that would then produce, sort of national images that would shock the conscience of the country around segregation. We move from that early period to the later period you describe, where there's more protester-initiated violence. And I think part of what's going on in that moment is people are just, they're tired of the feeling of, the police, the state can, engage in violence against us with impunity. And so you see this again, kind of eye for an eye logic. And I think what happens to a degree, now to come to your question, and forgive the long wind-up there, is that in some ways there's a kind of almost, people become, you describe buildings being burned out. I think in some ways there's a kind of burning out of not people's anger, but people's investment in responding that way, right? They kind of see their own communities being damaged or people they love being injured. And so it's hard to sustain that level of anger for the long term. And of course, there is, ongoing state repression, things like the COINTELPRO program, infiltration of organizations, again, not so different from what we see driving some of the concern on the right. And so those two things together, I think a kind of burning out of the fuel of people's desire to respond eye for an eye, and also more vigorous state repression lead to the decline.
Okay, but your piece in American Political Science Review makes clear that there were about 700,000 votes, you believe, that were swayed in the direction of Richard Nixon, who won the presidency. And I've made the point to my listeners, Nixon and Wallace combined, both of whom were trying to be law and order candidates in 1968, they got 57% of the vote.
Right.
They got almost 400 electoral votes combined. I mean, it was 350. It was very much a landslide that way. Was part of what happened with the urban violence just basically giving up because Nixon had come to power and he wasn't viewed as someone who was particularly sympathetic to the civil rights movement?
What's interesting is I've been looking at data this summer on that period, and I had this sense of Nixon as being on the right and Humphrey on the left, and, Nixon is Law and Order, and Humphrey was the lead author of the Civil Rights Act. But actually, it turns out Nixon was really viewed as a moderate, and Wallace was unsurprisingly, as a segregationist, the far-right candidate. And on issues of law and order, Nixon was the moderate, and perceived that way. And so there's I think a way in which Nixon really was very effective at being the law and order candidate, but also not being extreme and owning.
He was running with a slogan of "Bring us together." He talked about in his acceptance speech, which I remember, and I had been as a college student, I was a volunteer for Robert Kennedy before that shooting. And Nixon had seen a little girl holding up a sign, and it's real, it's not apocryphal. There was a photograph of it, and the sign said, "Bring us together," and he used that as the theme for a very effective acceptance speech. Would that be, do you think, a winning policy for ending this spate of violence and riots and urban unrest?
I think that would help. I mean, you know, at some core level, this has been going on, as you know, began in the intro, been going on for decades, and so we have these spikes of violence, often in response to acts of police, killings or police violence, and so at some level, this kind of push pull of an act of excess state violence, a counter mobilization, I think is likely to keep happening in some form until we're able to produce a criminal justice system that's more equitable. But in the very near term, I think having some faith that there is a federal government, a state government, local mayors and police who are being responsive would do a lot too. And I also think there's just, in some ways, these protests are often chaotic events. A protest might be 99% peaceful, and a small number of people light a car on fire, light a building on fire, and it doesn't take a lot of people to make a highly visual scene that when it's captured in the media is a very powerful story about violence. But those, when those acts are done, they also become they become an invitation for others to use those tactics. But I think what we'll see is
can you hang with us for a few more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely,
to pursue this. We'll be right back with Omar Wasso, assistant professor in Princeton's Department of Politics, and more on how to end the spasms of violence. We'll be right back. This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Rovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 at AmericanFederal.com.
Maybe you're skeptical that Relief Factor, 100% drug-free Relief Factor, can really help you get out of pain. I can understand if Relief Factor were a brand new product. Sure, I'd be skeptical too. But Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, started the company almost 7 years ago. And we've been talking about it all that time, virtually every day. And now tens of thousands of people have ordered the 3-week quick start and are taking it every day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is here to stay for a very good reason. So go ahead, be a little skeptical, but I suggest you might become like me and so many others who've tried it, a believer. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee pain, or back pain in my case, from just getting older, exercise, or everyday living, the 3-week quick start is discounted to only $19.95. It's like a trial pack. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Omar Wasso has actually provoked a great deal of attention and controversy with his very detailed analysis of the political impact of both the civil rights movement when it emphasized nonviolence and the riots that exploded, particularly after the assassination of Dr. King. There were 150 cities. That exploded in very substantial riots. Some of the cities that were convulsed by riots in the 1960s never recovered. Detroit would be an example, losing population, people leaving the city, businesses abandoning the city. Newark was badly damaged by the riots in 1967, before the assassination of Dr. King. And I'm speaking with Dr. Wasso about basically where we go from here, and how he would anticipate the future. It's now been over 90 days where every night there has been some kind of demonstration, some kind of property destruction as well, in Portland, Oregon, which is the whitest big city in America, 6% black population. If you were to guess, when and how do you think something is done in Portland so that people don't have to be facing curfews and banned from downtown and convulsed with ongoing chaos every single night? When do we see an end?
You know, it's interesting, Michael, you use the phrase, where do we go from here? And as you may, I'm sure you do know, that was a title of a book by Martin Luther King, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community. And King was very attentive to how, violent protest might, sort of change politics in ways that could hurt the civil rights movement. He also was very empathetic for people's anger, and as he, famously said, it's the language of, a riot is the language of the unheard. And we've got both things at play now, people wanting to express their frustration and also people trying to think pragmatically about, well, like, how is this going to get the policy outcomes we want? And, to your question, like, when is it going to end? I think it's hard to, my work focuses mainly on the 1960s, and it's hard to map some of the patterns then to now. As you note, there are different constituencies in these protests, right? So if in the civil rights era, these were predominantly black or black-led events, now you've got events that, even when it's a large peaceful protest, it might be 60% white. And that's, if nothing, that's a wonderful thing, but it just means it's a very different constituency than in the past. And in a place like Portland, it might be a mix of anarchists and other people with different motivations than, say, the Black Lives Matter protests in particular. And so it's a little bit hard to kind of map the 1960s to now, in part because there are these important differences. Longer term, my guess is that this will peter out, just because it's hard to sustain this level of political activism for the long haul. In the past, protest movements tend to be episodic, but it's also we're in a new period, and it's hard to know.
It is. Okay, so part of what is striking about your research is the way that this really brought Richard Nixon to power. And then in 1972, Richard Nixon won 61% of the popular vote. He won 49 of the 50 states. He won everything except for the state of Massachusetts. He was running against a guy from South Dakota. He won South Dakota. I know that President Trump is trying to put together, if you watch the Republican convention, it was very, very diverse, much more than the Republican Party base is. But there's new polling today by the Harris Company, which is reputable and tends to poll for liberals, that the percentage of people who approve of President Trump in the black community has tripled. Could that be a response to the fact that he has spoken very harshly about some of the violence going on? Is there a constituency for standing up for law and order in the black community?
Historically, there has been a constituency for law and order in the black community, and at the same time, people want a criminal justice system that's fair. And so that tension is at the heart of this moment. And coming to your other question, part of my training in statistics says you never want to pay too much attention to any one poll. And so I would wait to see multiple polls showing a trend. But it's certainly plausible that there are, many African Americans who have moderate political views on things like abortion or on things like entrepreneurship. And so a speech like Tim Scott's might resonate. That tells a story about entrepreneurial success in the black community. And at the same time, Trump is in some ways his own worst enemy, because he's sort of like an arsonist trying to tell you that he's going to help keep your house from going on fire, right? I mean, there are these moments of calm where there's a kind of clear message that's a more inclusive message, and then very quickly it kind of veers, typically if we look over the last 3 years, into language that sort of says Baltimore is a hellhole city kind of thing, and that those are real affronts to people who are like, you're talking about my home, you're talking about my community, I suspect that it's entirely plausible to me that there will be a bump among communities of color out of the Republican convention because the programming was so attentive to trying to put some of those stories at the center. And at the same time, I think most people would agree that Trump is not the most disciplined person about staying on message, and that's why I wouldn't expect that it sustains.
I think that's a very cautious understatement. President Trump goes with his gut.
Yeah.
And I thought the most true statement in either convention, both conventions, was when Ivanka Trump said Washington did not change Donald Trump. Donald Trump changed Washington. The real question, of course, for people is how did he change Washington? And whether Washington has been changed so greatly in terms of dysfunction that in the 90 days, actually 60 days between now and the election, whether we are going to see some kind of turnaround in terms of the street demonstrations and the violence and the property destruction and the threats and the fear, because the fear is a real factor. The New York Times was talking about people running away. I mean, just doing anything to get out of New York City and move to the suburbs. If you were to advise the president of the United States,
yeah,
if he was smart enough to say, Professor Wasso, come into the White House, I want you to help me try to deal with what is a painful moment for our country, what would you tell him?
I think the evidence from the past suggests that you can get a lot of goodwill by conveying we're going to try and address these underlying problems of injustice. So if people are angry about somebody being shot in the back at point-blank range, then showing some empathy for that probably would buy you a lot of goodwill. You can simultaneously say it is unacceptable that somebody would be shot in the back at point-blank range and condemn property damage or, you know, any kind of law-breaking at protests, right? Those two ideas are can be held together, and I think that would do a lot to sort of give a sense of, oh, somebody's being responsive. Somebody hears our concerns. I think if I were advising the president, I would encourage him not to sort of try to increase. I think the bet he's making, and this is one that the historian Rick Perlstein has described Nixon also made, which is that if you create more conflict in the streets, that's going to play to your advantage because you can then be the legitimate, you know, provider of order. But I think the challenge for President Trump in this moment is that it's not 1968. There's a lot more sympathy for the concerns of these protesters, in part because we have video, right? I mean, it's just a very different thing to kind of see for your own eyes George Floyd dying under the knee of Officer Chauvin, right? That sort of, it's hard. I mean, we even saw other police forces criticizing Officer Chauvin, right? So in those moments,
and George Floyd calling for his mother. I am afraid we're out of time. We're in town. But I hope we can continue the conversation. Omar Wasow, we posted his piece from the Washington Post about the impact of urban unrest, demonstrations, violence, and more. He's a professor of politics at Princeton University in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
School. Can't get a Wi-Fi signal where you want it? There's a new solution out there from C. Crane. It extends your Wi-Fi range up to half a mile away. Wi-Fi is super important, but the Wi-Fi signal doesn't travel very far. C. Crane has a new solution called the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System. It provides a new reliable Wi-Fi to half a mile away, and it works with all Wi-Fi devices and saves you the cost of a new internet service. The CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System provides basic internet service for surfing the web, making Skype calls, watching standard quality video on TV, and most important, streaming audio from CRN Talk Radio. You must have a line of sight view between the CC Vector and your host router. Best of all, you have C Crane's friendly crew to help you set it up. Check it out, the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System at ccrane.com/booster. That's ccrane.com/booster or call 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.